Hysteria is brought to you by IndieCloud. Everything right now feels like it's happening at full volume all the time, which is why more people are starting to be a lot more intentional about what they actually engage with. That's where IndieCloud fits in. IndieCloud is a fully legal online cannabis dispensary for gummies, exotic flower, premium pre-rolls, zero sugar THC, sodas, sleep gummies, and now rooms. It is a way to step back without completely checking out. Everything is federally legal hemp THC, lab tested and shipped discreetly to your door. I started noticing I didn't actually need more information. The situation is being monitored. I am monitoring the situation. I can leave the situation alone from it. I can take some space away from the constant stream of news, because there's a difference between staying informed and being in a perpetual state of fight or flight. For me, one IndieCloud soda and everything slows down just enough to think clearly again. And most importantly, I'm not carrying every single news update with me. And during the day, something small like an energy gummy keeps me focused without getting pulled in every direction. Energy gummies for staying focused without overload, THC sodas for stepping out of reaction mode, rooms for deeper shifted experiences, and flower for intentional resets. Low dose options for staying functional. That is, I'm a lightweight. That's my jam. Low dose options so I can function, but also chill out a second. THC sodas for steady, predictable calm, rooms for when something more elevated is the goal, and classic flower for when it's time to fully check out. We don't have to match the volume, we just need to control our response. If you're 21 or older, go to indiecloud.co, that's .co, not .com. And for new customers, use code HYSTERIA for 40% off your order. That's indiecloud.co, code HYSTERIA for 40% off. Ship discreetly to your door, plus free shipping on orders over $50 and free gifts on qualifying orders. And please don't forget to fill out the quick survey when you order to support this show. Enjoy responsibly, and thanks to IndieCloud for helping you stay a little more in control this news cycle.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria. I'm Erin Ryan.
And I'm Alyssa Mastromonaco.
Alyssa, the latest in Maha. Maha news.
No.
RFK Jr. found a baby bird in an airport and brandished it like a handgun.
He did.
He did. He held it.
He did.
Like a cat in a Disney movie. You know, they have the,
yeah,
like this. If you were betting on Kalshi or Polymarket, how much would you bet he ate the bird?
Erin, have we ever heard a story about RFK and an animal that didn't involve somehow the animal being dead and atop his car at some point?
Yeah, it's weird. Whatever happened to that bird after that was weird.
It's not, I feel bad for, I just, whatever happened to the bird, I hope it was quick and he doesn't remember it.
Yeah, well, it was a European starling, which is an invasive species that displaces native birds from their nests. And so it does feel a little on the nose. I'm like, oh yeah, of course that's what RFK Jr. would save.
Of course.
Anyway, today we break down the mifepristone legal whiplash, dive into the spicy pages of Evie Magazine's Tradwife sex issue, and talk to Stephanie Young, the producer and host of our favorite podcast lately, Love Trapped.
Can't wait.
You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for plans B, C, D, and E, and F, although we hope it doesn't come to plan F. Because I don't think we've really sketched that one out.
No.
Plan F pills.
Still need some work.
Plan F pills are just like a cinder block, and you just...
They haven't gotten real legs yet.
No. All right. There's been some whiplash on the abortion news on the reproductive health front this last week, and we're going to dive into it. So let's break down what happened. And warning, you guys are going to be hearing this on a Thursday probably. This is like a very quickly developing story, so things may be changing soon. So last Friday, a federal appeals court reinstated a nationwide requirement for mifepristone, the first of the two pill series taken for most medication abortions in the U.S. So it used to be that mifepristone could be dispensed via telemedicine.
Yep.
The FDA removed that requirement in 2023 so that it could be dispensed via telemedicine. And this court decided that it needed to be reinstated. So there is now an in-person requirement. As of Friday, the in-person requirement had been permanently reinstated by this court in Louisiana. The state of Louisiana had filed its lawsuit against the FDA, claiming that ditching the in-person requirement caused the state harm, as it helped women in the state circumvent the state's abortion ban by acquiring mifepristone via the mail. So a Fifth Circuit panel agreed with the state of Louisiana, issuing a ruling that applied nationwide and reinstated the in-person
Insane.
And so for a few days, one court in Louisiana was able to require women in literally every state to show up in person to receive medication that the FDA had already determined to be safe to receive via telehealth, even if that woman's local and state laws weren't in line with Louisiana's ban. So like a woman in California, for example, a woman in Washington, because of Louisiana, you couldn't get it. You would have to go physically into the doctor's office in order to get it. If it sounds very stupid, that's because it is. It's very stupid, even to Justice Samuel Alito, who is not your friend, not my friend.
No.
He's not a nice man. But on Monday, the arch-conservative justice who oversees the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals responded to the emergency appeal of the drug maker with an administrative stay that temporarily restored access to the medication by mail and telehealth until May 11th. So, yeah, it's been a kind of whiplashy period of time. Like, legal back and forth like this sows confusion in patients. Patients are kind of like, what's going on? Providers confused and not wanting to get in trouble. And here's an example of how that might have affected somebody. So, like, let's say you're a patient in Montana and you tried to get a prescription for mifepristone on Friday at 3 p.m. Mountain Time. You would have been told you needed to go in person to get that medicine.
Right.
But if you'd called back at 9 a.m. local time on Monday, you would have been able to get the drug over the phone.
And how would you know that?
I don't know. Providers also have to deal with this whiplash, suddenly having drugs on their shelves that are mislabeled according to FDA guidelines, and thus could get them in trouble if dispensed. So reinstating the in-person requirement was a big win for the anti-abortion movement since Trump has taken office for a second time. Surprise, surprise, we warned that this would happen. He's been pretty lackadaisical about indulging the whims of the anti-abortion movement, because why would he? He already used them to get elected. He doesn't need them anymore.
He doesn't care.
He never actually cared about being pro-life beyond what posturing it took to get him elected. But this legal back and forth has made it clear that even after getting basically everything they wanted, the anti-abortion movement is hungry for a win. They want more. They're never gonna be satisfied with having Roe v. Wade overturned. Now, medication abortions accounted for more than 60% of abortions in the U.S. in 2023. That's according to Guttmacher Institute research. Guttmacher also reported that approximately 91,000 abortions in 2025 were provided via telehealth, up from 72,000 in 2024. So we're going to get servicey before we get into the discussion. I want to say this first, okay?
Okay.
If you're a woman who is capable of getting pregnant, even if you're just, you only got a couple eggs left in the chute, even if you're right at the very tail end, you know, if there is a snowball's chance in hell that you could become pregnant, or if you have friends or family members that fit that description, it isn't a bad idea to research how abortion medication can be legally obtained for you.
Right.
Even if you are currently not pregnant. There's great information at plancpills.org. There's resources you can use. Some of the resources will prescribe the medication if you're not pregnant already, in case you want to have it. Some of the resources can direct you to legal help, can help people living in states with some bans. I'm not telling you to have some on hand, but, you know, just in case you wanted to look into it. I'm not telling you not to, you know. It's your choice. Up to you. Up to you for now.
You do you.
And you can also check out If, When, How. It's all one word. For more information about legal resources in the post-Dobbs world. And this has been a public service announcement. So, Alyssa.
Yes.
What do you make of all this?
You mean like, why should women be allowed to get their drugs in the mail?
I mean, what do you make of all this back and forth?
The back and forth is ridiculous. It's confusing. It is insane to me. This is something mifepristone has been, we have been told over and over, it is as safe as Tylenol. Erin, the medications I get in the mail have like black box label warnings on them, and I can still get them in the mail. So this is clearly punishing people is the point. And, you know, it also just goes to show how much they just hate women. Because here's just a couple little like data points that I couldn't help but think about. First, because of them, the Republicans, because of Trump, because of everything they've done to destroy reproductive health care for women in America, we have gynecological health care deserts. According to UC Davis, as of 2023, 42% of women of reproductive age live at least 30 minutes from a Planned Parenthood. According to the Kaiser Foundation, as of 2023, 1 in 10 women of reproductive age don't have health insurance. Okay? So these things start compounding. The average cost of an ER visit, if you aren't insured, and we're going to call this low severity, for a low severity visit, is between $200 and $1,000 minimum. Okay, so if you're not able to get your mifepristone in the mail, this is all adding up. And this doesn't even include the time that's going to be taken out of your life to drive to a Planned Parenthood if you can. If you have to go to an emergency room for non-urgent cases, which this would be considered, the average wait time in the U.S. is between 2 and 4 hours, though we know it can be much longer, right? So all that. Now, what is the opposite that could happen? The opposite is the telehealth provider, which is like if you look at Plan C pills, you can get the average prices. Receiving your abortion medication can be between $99 and maybe $400 from and to the safety and comfort of your home, right?
Yes.
What are the reasons that they don't want people to be able to get their mifepristone?
Do you want to hear my honest assessment of it? Okay. I have to lay out a couple more facts here too.
Okay.
The mifepristone-misoprostol combination of pills is not the only way to obtain medication abortion. In other countries, the standard of care for medication abortion is just misoprostol. Not mifepristone. They don't use mifepristone. The difference of they're both effective ways to manage the end of a pregnancy, whether that be through abortion care or like abortion care that is the care for a miscarriage, which it's the same. It's the same care.
Right.
So there is another way. And misoprostol cannot be banned. It cannot easily be like it is used for many, many different things. And so the likelihood of that drug being pulled or being made less accessible to women is like it is a non-starter, right? It is will be, even if mifepristone, the pro-life people get their way, get their wildest dreams come true, and somehow some podunk court in the backwaters is able to like revoke FDA approval like whole cloth, even if it's pulled from the market, there is another course for women to obtain abortion care. And that's with misoprostol. Now, the reason that doctors don't like doing that is because the side effects of that are much more unpleasant than if you do the FDA approved way, which is mifepristone misoprostol. The misoprostol only way has a lot of like gastrointestinal side effects,
cramping
and bloating, like bloating and diarrhea and stuff like that. And so what this move would do, even if mifepristone was pulled from the market or if it was made more difficult to obtain, it just redirects these women to a different course of care that causes them more suffering. Because even with the increased suffering and like side effects of the misoprostol course, it still hurts less than having a baby. You know, childbirth is still way, way more painful than...
Well, and again, the crazy thing, you'll remember this. It was, I'm going to say it was 2018, 2019. It's a story we've heard about. It is certainly not the only story. But do you remember the mom, I think Nicole Ortega in Arizona, who had a non-viable pregnancy and was sent to the pharmacy to pick up her abortion pills? And they were like, it was like a conscientious objector
yep.
over at the pharmacy. So it's like they're just lying about everything. Like, this is a non-viable pregnancy, and they still wouldn't fucking give it to her, sent her through all this trauma, and she ultimately had to go to like three other pharmacies to try to get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also the second way that the non-mifepristone way more often requires surgical follow-up. So it's right. not as good, but it works. And if you really don't want to be pregnant, there are a few lengths to which you will not go to not be pregnant. You know, women have figured out ways to end pregnancies through all of time, right? And pregnancies right. that have been non-viable have been needed to be expelled from the body for all of time. And my theory about why the anti-abortion movement is pursuing mifepristone, I think it has to do with money. I think that after Roe v. Wade was overturned, they were the dog that caught the car. They didn't really, you know, what do they put in big letters on the outside of their scary mailers that they send to supporters?
Right.
How do they get people to keep their wallets open to them? I think they had to set a new goal, and this is the goal. But this is honestly, they're just going to be playing whack-a-mole, because since Roe v. Wade was overturned, the number of abortions in the U.S. has gone up. And I think, I don't have any research to back this up, this is just based off vibes, but I think that there are women that in an environment where pregnancy is more dangerous due to restrictions on gynecological and obstetric care, women who get pregnant and have risky pregnancies would rather terminate the pregnancy. If they're on the fence, they're like, terminate, don't terminate. I live in a state where being pregnant can be very scary if something goes
right.
wrong. They would probably err on the side of termination rather than risk some of the horror stories that we've heard in the news about what happens when a woman who is pregnant and something bad happens can't obtain the care that she needs.
Horrible stories.
I really think that this has to do with money. It's a very cynical move on the part of the like so-called pro-life movement that wants to make the process of getting an abortion more painful, more expensive, and more inconvenient for women. But ultimately, it's not going to succeed in what their stated goal is, which is to reduce the number of abortions. Like,
right. It's all, so much of it comes down, it's like money and political theater. Because the other thing that they fucking hate is that not as many people are going to clinics now, so their little protests don't terrorize people in the way that they want them to. They've really sort of lost that. And so they're like, we're going to get it back by hook or by crook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's just money. They just want more attention, and they want more money, and they want to feel more important politically. But it's not something that's going to work. And the Samuel Alito of it all, I wanted to remark on too, because people were like, Sam Alito, what's going on here? But I believe he was the one that intervened in the other mifepristone case a few
years
back. Yeah,
I think you're right.
He was the one that put a stay on Judge Kaczmarek's order in Texas when mm-hmm. a judge in Amarillo, Texas, that had been handpicked by a made-up organization of doctors, put a nationwide injunction on mifepristone disbursement. I also wanted to call out the way that mifepristone was first allowed to be distributed without being in person. I had been under the assumption that because it had happened in 2023, that it was the Biden administration being like, well, we're going to respond to Roe being overturned. But actually, it wasn't.
No, it was Trump.
It was ACOG.
Was it really?
Yeah, the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology appealed in 2021 to have the in-person requirement removed. And in 2023,
wow.
the in-person requirement was removed by the FDA. So it was like Biden's FDA, but it was like
right.
ACOG started the process. It wasn't like
thanks, ACOG.
Yeah, thanks, ACOG. Yeah, this is pretty wild. Do you think Trump is going to be forced to take a position on this, or do you think he's too busy talking about murder in front of kids to?
He's way too busy talking about murder in front of kids while critiquing whether or not he thinks they're the right size to be a volleyball player.
Oh my God, he was deranged. He was in front of. He clearly just like doesn't really like children very much,
or people.
But him falling asleep in a physical fitness discussion. It was crazy. Maybe he shouldn't get involved in this conversation. I feel like he's got enough on his plate.
He's too busy stopping and starting things in the Straits of Hormuz. He should just like stick to that.
I mean, for real. I mean, I just almost made a female anatomy Straits of Hormuz joke, but
that would have been funny. I know where you were going.
I know, but our next block in this show is really gonna go there. We're gonna do a quick zig and a zag away from talking about abortion care and the very, very serious issue of courts interfering with people's access to medication. And we are going to talk about Evie Magazine's sex issue. We're going to take a quick break.
We've got dabs.
We're going to talk about this when we come back. Hysteria is brought to you by Article. Article makes it effortless to create a stylish, long-lasting home at an unbeatable price. They offer a curated range of mid-century modern, coastal, and Scandi-inspired pieces that not only shine on their own, but also pair seamlessly with nearly any other Article product. This thoughtful design approach makes it incredibly easy to mix and match, helping you create a space that feels cohesive and stylish. Article takes great care in curating its collection, focusing solely on high-quality, meaningful pieces that will stand the test of time. There's no filler. Every item is chosen for its craftsmanship, design, and lasting value. You can immediately tell the difference in quality when you receive an Article piece. Something that I love about all my Article products, I've mentioned the incredible shipping and receiving of products. That experience is great. I very rarely have good shipping experiences, except with Article. It's always good. It's always flawless. I love how high quality the pieces feel, how stylish they look without feeling like they're overwhelming a room or overpowering what we already have. And I've owned my Article couch for like 5 or 6 years now. I've owned my dining room furniture for a couple years. It's all as good as the day that it arrived. Article offers fast, affordable shipping across the U.S. and Canada with options for professional assembly if you prefer a hands-off experience. Have a question or need help with your design choices? Article's customer care team is available 7 days a week, offering knowledgeable support and even free interior design services to help you get your home right. With Article's 30-day satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence, knowing that if you're not completely in love with your new furniture, you can easily return it. This peace of mind ensures you can invest in your home without hesitation. Article is offering our listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim, visit article.com/hysteria, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/hysteria for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. Hysteria is brought to you by Smalls. You know the thing I love about cats? I mean, almost everything. They're hilarious. But I love that they are just like a perfect killing machine, but we're just supposed to keep them in our houses. We just like have these tiny little pocket-sized murderers and they live with us. I love it. It's so like dangerous and not dangerous at the same time. It's like dangerous and funny. It's like how birds are kind of what remains of dinosaurs and they're so little. It's like, haha. Not so big now, are you, buddy? My cat ate Smalls for many, many years, and it was an important part of her nourishment and health for a long time. She lived to be 21 years old. Absolutely astonishing run for a cat. And a balanced diet leads to less shedding, fewer hairballs, and more silky shine. Smalls Fresh Cat Food is protein-packed recipes made with preservative-free, 100% human-grade ingredients you'd find in your fridge, and it's delivered right to your door. Their gently cooked recipe is made without preservatives, and most of the nutrients are digestible, so less junk comes out the other end. That means a less stinky litter box. Smalls cat food leads to high protein and improved hydration. That equals strong bones and toned muscles for your perfect little killing machine that you don't let go outside. Cats use protein as their main energy source. More protein means more fuel and sustained energy. After switching to Smalls, 88% of cat owners reported overall health improvements. Are you spooked by commitment? You can try Smalls risk-free. They'll refund you if your cat won't eat their food. So stop serving your little carnivore a bowl of processed shortcuts. For a limited time, because you're a Hysteria listener, get 60% off your first order, plus free shipping and free treats for life when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. That's 60% off your first order, plus free shipping and free treats for life when you head to smalls.com/hysteria. Welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who want to see the Devil Wears Prada movie, where instead of runway, it's Evie, and instead of Miranda Priestley, it's Peter Thiel. The devil's worried about the Antichrist. Oh, God. All right. Well, let's get into this.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we are both, Aaron and I, card-carrying paid subscribers of Evie Magazine, a magazine that only makes one physical copy a year, which even Even that's up for debate because we never did receive anything in 2025. We've been members since 2024. But they are making up for it with the spiciest issue yet.
The sex issue.
The sex issue.
Look at the glassy-eyed desire on this cover model.
Look at that dead eye.
But look, she's a bride. Don't forget she's married. She's having sex, but she's married.
She's virginal.
She's being married about it.
So you had to be 18 or older to purchase. It was advertised as one of the most comprehensive, beautiful works on sex ever in print. Ever in print.
Kama Sutra would like a word.
Mm-hmm. As a reminder, Evie is a woman's publication that fancies, and to be clear, it is a woman's publication that fancies itself the conservative Cosmo. It was founded by Brittany and Gabriel Hugelboom. Hugelboom.
I'm sorry, that Hugo, it looks like
Hugelboom.
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 Huge booms.
And the two also own a menstrual cycle tracking app called 28. Danger, danger, which is backed by Peter Thiel.
Okay. So this is like, we've talked about this on the show before.
Yeah.
This is sort of, this is propaganda, this magazine. And
it
is pronatalist propaganda. Pronatalist, pro-tech propaganda wrapped up to look mostly like Cosmo.
And but
it's not. So surprisingly, I was surprised when I started reading the sex issue because it's not all bullshit.
No, it's not all bullshit.
It's like a cis, hetero, vanilla sex Bible. But it is kind of hard to read without laughing because
it's corny.
Well, look, as a media savvy person, whenever I consume anything, I try to ask myself the question, who is this for? Like, some things are not for me. And so I can read it as something
correct.
Like, how does this go over with, for me personally, how would this go over for the intended audience if I am not part of the intended audience?
Right.
What can I glean about the intended audience by reading this? From reading this, I can glean that the intended audience are people who've never been fingered.
I mean, now, we know that I'm prudish in talking about such things, but I have to hard agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's – but here's the thing. Like, I don't want to – all right, over there. There's laughing in the studio. There's giggling.
There's going to be some laughing.
There's some silly giggling. Come on. Do you want to stand up at the front of the class with me and read this magazine? This is
don't
serious.
Don't make us pull out
– this is serious.
We've got things bookmarked.
But there is – you know, I'll say that. That being said, like, plenty of people in the world are in the – finger-free zone, right? There are plenty of women, especially young women, women who grew up in conservative households, and having a factual, fact-based guide that is frank about certain aspects of sex, I think is valuable. I think that there, and I know, I do have to hand it to Evie to an extent that there is some valuable information in here.
Yes.
This is some of the producers, this has been passed around the office already. And there are people, there's like a line. Jane Costin is like, I saw the Evie sex issue on your desk. And I was like, you can't borrow it until after my episode. Then you can look at it. But yeah, our CEO wants to look at it. Adrian wants to look at it. Everyone wants to look at it. It contains information about anatomy, female pleasure, and dealing with things like vaginismus that would totally be at home in like a Cosmo magazine from the
90s. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. But that is just part of the Evie model. They front as a center of the road pro-woman publication, but then slip into trad values at every turn. For example, the article, quote, "The non-negotiables for sexual health recommends seeking routine gynecological care and always peeing after sex. They encourage having a conversation about a contraception with your husband, but foregoing hormonal birth control in favor of cycle tracking."
Whoa, you know what's super convenient? There's an app for cycle tracking that happens to be owned by the same people
that
who published
crazy.
The magazine. Oh my God. Great.
Yes.
Give them your data. Give Peter Thiel your period information. That sounds great.
So, like, their sexual health advice pretty much reads like a really horny trad edition of The Care and Keeping of You. And it just gets worse and worse. Also, Aaron, there's a lot of God. There is a lot of God in the pages of Evie, the vague concept of being in your feminine. And it feels like every other sentence that they remind you that good sex is part of being a good wife for your husband.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of bookmarks about
There's
that.
There's a pull quote. I mean, it does really, there is a lot of emphasis on female pleasure here, but the female pleasure is not an end in and of itself. It is a means to an end to facilitate a, like, a lot of sex in your marriage.
All the neighbors should know his name.
Sex is the most important skill a wife can develop. Sex is the most important skill a wife can develop. Like, ooh. I mean, yeah. And there's some really interesting stuff. I want to open it up to a page about that really stuck out to me. There's some, like, there's a lot of, like, between the lines subtext here.
Yeah. Let's see if we marked all the same pages. What's your page?
Well, there's certain, like, there's some pretty good stuff in here about, like, figuring out what gives you sexual pleasure, like, as a woman, mm-hmm. like, it's important for you to understand your body and, like, know. And there's, like, a part in there about, it's like, yeah, go ahead and jill off if you need to. Figure it out, you know? That's, I think, progressive.
Her husband thanks God for her, especially after 10 p.m. That's hot.
Ew.
Fuck. So gross.
Evie is for people that only do it at night. Okay, so there's some good stuff in there. Like, I'm being generous, where it's like, figure out, you know, there's different kinds of orgasms. There's certain positions that are probably not going to be as pleasurable for you. Here are some positions that feel better for women because of your anatomy. Here are some, like, diagrams of, like, female sexual anatomy. Great. But
they were tasteful drawings, as they said they would be.
But this is also a bit of a shit sandwich, because there's these little drips and drabs of, like you said, like, religiosity that is kind of unwelcome, an intense emphasis on presentation, on, like, shaving off all your body hair, on, like, wearing your hair long, being feminine, moisturizing, having a signature scent, which I found a little bit weird, because I think there's some research that shows that artificial scents can interfere with your fertility. So, like, a pronatalist magazine should be a little bit more careful about that, but whatever. There's, on page 58, there's a little headline within an article called how to sexify yourself, which is a little cringy, but whatever. Once it got to this, I was like, oh, I see what we're doing here. Okay. Your body is the foundation. There's no way around that, so I'm going to be straightforward. Get and stay fit. A woman who is sample size looks great in virtually everything she puts on. And while no one likes to say this out loud, being significantly overweight is the single biggest thing working against a woman's sex appeal. Okay, we've gotten to the No Fat Chicks page.
Yep.
Okay, so there's that. And then there's also, like, a very weird segment on the next page called Flexibility and Movement. And it talks about how you need to stretch regularly, you need to do Pilates. And then there's this very funny paragraph I want to read. How you carry yourself when you're standing still matters just as much as how you walk. Shift your weight onto one leg. Oh, they're going to tell us how to walk in this magazine.
Yeah.
We've never been fingered or gone on a walk now. shift your weight onto one leg. Let your hip jut out slightly and let your upper body twist into a natural S-curve. I'm trying to act it out and it doesn't feel right to me. This is called
weird.
This is called contrapposto. It creates a lower waist to hip ratio on one side that the eye is drawn to. The spontaneous version of this always looks better than the posed one. So practice until it stops being a decision. Practice walking in a sexier way. Don't walk.
Just try.
Nothing is sexier than walking in a way that isn't normal to you. Try it. Try it until it is normal.
You're going to look like you pooped your pants. That's what happens when you walk in an uncomfortable way. That's the immediate thing everybody thinks. That or you hurt yourself.
Have you ever seen that episode of 30 Rock when Jack has to be on camera and he's really bad on camera and he can't figure out how to walk? And so he tries to put coffee mugs in both hands and he's like, which hand moves first? I feel like that's what this magazine is doing. It's like, if you're walking and you stop and think about, what am I doing? I feel like I would just fall down. Anyway, so there's something else interesting in here. Oh, content-wise, there is also something that I found really a little bit dark. And it's spelled out in a subtextual way. Bedroom direction, how to guide him without killing
the mood. I saw that paragraph.
So, it's basically like the subtext is like, so your guy's trash in bed.
Sucks.
So your dude sucks in bed. But they're really trying to make it like preserve his
his ego. Dignity and his ego, because that is the most important thing.
Right. Something very – the golden rule is – before anything else, there's one principle worth tattooing on your brain. I love when you will always outperform. Don't do that. This whole article is about how you're not supposed to tell your husband no.
Yes.
How you're not.
A lot of them. That is also a real theme through the magazine.
You're supposed to always be ready for sex. You're supposed to always want sex. And you're never supposed to tell him no.
The way that they, in one of the articles, talk about how a postpartum woman should ramp herself up back to sex, the timeline shook me.
What was the timeline? I didn't get to that one.
It was like you've been nursing your baby and creating this family, and they give you, you know, good for you. That's what you should be doing. But they basically say on somewhat of a tight turn that once your husband's ready to go, you're not going to be, which of course makes loads of sense to me. And I've never had a child, but still makes loads of sense to me. This sort of goes hand in hand with the whole essay on sex during your period and how you should approach it. And sorry, but crime scenes aren't my thing. So you're never going to get me with that one. And for the postpartum, they say that you should dedicate once your husband is ready, you should dedicate 1 week and talk to him and say, you know what? My body's not ready. But for a week, just touch me gently on my back and hug me and have non-sexual touch for a week. And then, like, my body's going to understand and I'm going to be back in it.
Okay. Fact check.
Maybe it was 2 weeks. It might have been 2 weeks.
2 weeks?
Either way, it made me recoil. It made me recoil.
Okay. First of all, medical advice around that is 6 weeks at least. And you know why that medical advice exists? Because when you give birth, you have the placenta gets ripped out of your – Claire's covering her eyes.
Yeah.
The placenta detaches. Is that better? It detaches from the inside. Oh, look at you people. You people in the studio today. Get it together. The placenta detaches from the side of the uterine wall. It is the size of a dinner plate. I looked at mine both times. It's gross. It looks like a veiny
– I saw Dr. Robbie take one out on the pit.
Yeah, yeah. It's like a little like deflated – it's like a balloon size thing. It's
yeah.
Like a deflated – like meat balloon that's full
of that's what it looks like.
It's full of veins and it comes out and it weighs like a few pounds. It's not light. It is like weighs a few pounds. And what it leaves behind is a dinner plate size hole, like a wound in your uterus. And over the weeks after you give birth, the hormones that are generated by your body, there's like all this crazy, it's like, it's amazing. Honestly, it sounds crazy and gross. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I think.
No, it's like fucking, it's like amazing.
It's fucking amazing. Your body goes through a complete, it's called matrescence. You go through like a second puberty. You have a hormone crash in the first week after your baby's born. You lactate. You suddenly can create milk with your body. And
yes, they explain this process in the article.
Yes, and your uterus shrinks back down to size, but it takes weeks and weeks and weeks to get there. And it takes weeks and weeks and weeks for that wound to heal. And if you have sex before there is enough healing that has occurred, you can get very, very fucking sick. Like introducing outside bacteria to that is so dangerous. The 6 week guideline was put in place because men would not get off their postpartum wives and like endangering them.
Well, and like also, it should just be whenever you personally feel ready. And that might be 18 weeks. I'm saying, get with it.
It might be even longer because another thing that happens when you're breastfeeding, your body is like focused on that. Your body is not like, get me pregnant again.
And so much energy goes to that. Like you expend so many calories doing that.
Yes. And also like in the first week, I mean, in the first like couple months after the baby's born, you're on a 24-hour schedule. Like they don't really, they don't sleep that long. They constantly wake up and then they need you and then they go to sleep and then they wake up and they need you and they go to sleep and they wake up. And so like your life is like on the baby's schedule, which does not respect day and night. And so you are not in any mood, nor do you feel sexy. It is not, oh, that makes me so mad. That makes me want to like shoot lightning bolts out of my eyes.
So I can't remember they didn't mention an exact time period that should be waited, but they were basically like you shouldn't go too long. And when he's ready, it might take your body time to get back into it, but here's how you should get back into it.
Oh my God.
And I was like, you should just leave that alone. That just seems like nobody needs any expectations. Let that lady just be. But it goes hand in hand with one of my other favorite little like pullouts from this one. Mm-hmm. Sex is the most important skill you can develop as a wife.
Oh, yeah. Sex
now,
is the most important
I thought this
skill.
Was so funny because back, if Evie were from 1950, they would have said the most important thing you can do is cook. But we know the cooking instructions that Evie's given in the past. So we know that can't be it.
Yeah, that is. Oh, yeah. Ooh, look.
You take that chicken and you put it in the oven. Yeah. Temperature
yes,
TBD.
Roast it.
Time TBD.
You know, just roast,
roast
it.
That bird. Roast it.
I was really impressed with some of the stuff that they get into. Like, they have a dominance and submission thing.
Yep.
About some very, like, light kink. Like,
yeah.
I would say, like, 50 Shades. Like, if you read 50 Shades of Grey and you were like, oh, my stars, like, that would, this would dazzle you. It's nothing crazy. But it's, Oh, there's also this page is so stupid. Alcohol is cool, but has he ever gotten drunk off your breasts?
We both labeled that one.
God, I hope not. I hope not.
Because that was disgust. That was,
I mean,
a bridge too far.
Not to brag, but my husband got pulled over for being having too much tits on the brain. Yeah, this is
drunk.
Very, very silly. Something else that I wanted to talk about is, so this magazine is presented as this guidebook to wives-to-be, right? You're supposed to read it on a bachelorette
yes.
trip. You're supposed to read it and, like, giggle with your friends. And it reads kind of like soft erotica.
It does.
And there's,
especially if you're a virgin bride.
Especially if you're a virgin bride. It doesn't get into, like, monster smut territory, but it is, like, erotic. Like, there's mm-hmm. – like, there was – I was reading this and I was like, man, I shouldn't be reading this in front of my kids. And I was like, oh, they can't read. They're too little. But we kind of we were like looking into these writers because we're like, oh, who's doing this?
Oh, right.
According to the website, the issue was created by the married editors and artists at Evie for the woman who wants to know everything about building a passionate, thrilling, and deeply bonding sex life with her husband. Okay, that's very funny.
Yes.
But here's the thing: some of the writers we could track down, like as real women, like they had mm-hmm. footprints. But a majority of the media articles in the magazine were all written by someone who we're not sure exists, the mysterious Ivy Lipton.
Oh, yeah. I tried to find Ivy.
Yeah. Her bio on the Evie website claims she's a doctoral candidate in human sexuality, but there's no proof to back that up. I went on the Evie website and I pulled up some other articles from her, and one of them mentioned that she lived in the Los Angeles area, or implied that she did. And so I was like, okay, well, she's getting her doctorate in human sexuality. Like, there's a finite number of schools. And I looked through all the like, sexuality departments, and I couldn't find anybody that, like, matched this person.
Fascinating.
Even more interesting, her sultry headshot that is allegedly Ivy Lipton, it's a stock photo. It can be found on Shutterstock. So it's not even a, like,
Yeah,
it's not even a deep stock photo. It is from Shutterstock. And I think that the search terms are, like, very beautiful, soft skin, long hair, brunette, or something like that. That's not
unbelievable.
That's not a person. So signs point to her not being real. I put on my reporter pants yesterday and I emailed Evie and I was like, what's up with this? This person isn't like, there is no,
they write you back.
There is no Ivy Lipton that lives on the West Coast. There's like a 53-year-old who lives in New Jersey and there's like a 69-year-old and then there's a dead lady. So it's like, is this a pseudonym? Which maybe, but wouldn't you disclose that in the author bio?
Right. Or, and like the credentials then?
Exactly. Like, is a pseudonymous sex writer living in, on the West Coast, who's getting her doctorate in human sexuality. But it is literally, it is a name that appears on a ton of the articles.
That's incredible.
Using a picture of a stock photo model. Who's the real Ivy Lipton? Also, there's this like curiously long article about lingam massage, which is like a penis massage. I'm sure
right.
you remember it from that article, that episode of Sex and the City. I think Miranda got cum on her
Miranda.
Face.
Yes.
Yes. But there's so much writing about like how to handle a penis that I'm like, is Ivy Lipton a gay man?
Oh, shit.
We'll see. I don't know.
Someday.
Ivy Lipton, if you are listening and you're real, you should come on Hysteria. Other bylines we couldn't track down, Lola Noel. That's not
a
real. That's Lola Noel, a wedding planner with an impossibly handsome husband and no digital footprint outside of Evie. Or Artemisia LeClaire. These sound like fake sex names I would make
they
up.
They are fake sex names.
A columnist for Evie whose only online presence is an Instagram account that only started posting 2 days ago.
Shut
I think that this magazine of real advice is actually made by fake people. Final thoughts on this Evie magazine before we have to move on to our highly anticipated interview with Stephanie Young, creator of Love Trapped. Okay, final thoughts on this. This is a very heterosexual magazine, right? What I found super interesting.
Married heterosexual.
Married heterosexual. But here's the thing. There are no pictures of, like, hot guys. There are no men's faces in it.
None.
All of the pictures, like, and so I wonder, like, are the pictures supposed to be titillating because the women who are reading it are imagining themselves as
that? Yes,
this
that was
person.
My takeaway.
But it's like, I don't know
that
if
this is, it felt like a lot of this is how you should look.
Yes.
Basically, a lot of underwire and preferably eating a piece of fruit.
Yeah, eating a piece of fruit sexily. But it's like,
sexy fruit.
I mean, it was striking to me that it's like, well, if this is supposed to get a hetero woman all horned up, then why are there no pictures of men in there? And I think it's because of God. They don't want jealous husbands to be like, you're looking at guys.
You're coveting something.
Yeah, you're coveting something. You're just coveting this for your, you're coveting to be this thing, which is,
yeah.
Which, you know, maybe an article written by somebody who's pretending to be a stock photo model, which is so fucking fake.
Which apparently is a thing.
It's so fucking fake. That's the thing. Like the idea that you can achieve marital bliss if you are simply wet and ready for penetration at all times, then, like, what does it say?
Strong pelvic floor, stronger marriage.
Oh,
also,
God, girl.
Also, ladies, strong pelvic floor, you're going to age better, okay? You're not going to have prolapsing.
Okay.
So, like,
strong pelvic floor is not at, like, if this is a pronatal, okay, pronatalists, listen. You cannot have a bajillion kids and a strong pelvic floor. They do not. The kids just, they just.
You got to pick your poison.
Yeah, you got to pick your poison. One or the other. Children, strong pelvic floor. Children, strong pelvic floor. But anyway, one more thing. Our associate producer, Claire, did some headline comparison, and I don't want to waste her work
Amazing.
On this because it's incredible.
Please.
She compared vintage Cosmo headlines to Cosmo 2026, to Evie 2026. Now, I'm going to read a couple, Alyssa, and I want you to guess. Is it vintage
All right.
Cosmo 2026, or Evie 2026?
Mm-hmm.
Why are women such sluts?
That feels vintage Cosmo.
Yes. And that's not cool. Like, hey, slut, that's not like a cool slut.
No, it's like, but it wasn't actually pejorative.
No.
It was like, why are women such sluts?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, let's ask them.
What's up, sluts? Like, what's going on? Why are you a slut? Okay. How to be great at sexting.
How to be great at sexting? Modern Cosmo?
Yes, that's correct. Okay.
The texting, the technology gave it away.
Yeah. So you think you're independent.
Vintage Cosmo.
You're just absolutely killing it.
Because I'm basically vintage Cosmo, Erin.
Okay, now let's go to dirty talk tips. You should put that on. You should make business cards, Alyssa. Vintage Cosmo.
I am vintage Cosmo.
Tagline, why am I such a slut? Alyssa Mastrodic. All right, here are some dirty talk tips. Some are from Cosmo 1975, some are from Cosmo 2026, and some are from Evie 2026.
Okay.
Okay, I crave the taste of you so much it hurts.
This is dirty talk?
Mm-hmm.
Evie.
Yep, that's right.
So I feel like Evie's a giveaway because the language is so vanilla.
It seems very, like, some of the language is like, my goodness gracious, I cannot wait for you to declothe me.
It's like, exactly, exactly.
Nobody says that. Like, nobody's, like, heated.
It's not sexy language.
Yeah, nobody says that when they're, like, aroused. They're not like, oh my stars, my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this one? Tell me what you want me to do to you.
Tell me what you want me to do to you. Evie?
Nope. Cosmo 2026.
That's shocking.
Final one. I'm so glad we kept the light on.
Oh, that's got to be vintage Cosmo.
Yeah, that's vintage Cosmo. Because it's only one light. Back in the 70s, they only had big light.
I didn't even think that it was in plural. That's a good giveaway.
Keep the light on. Because, like, now we're just, like, rich in lights. We got lighting moods.
All kinds of lights.
Yeah.
Under bed lighting, over bed.
If somebody says, I'm so glad we kept the light on, you know that they traveled through time from 1975.
I love that.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, as promised, our interview with the host and writer of Love Trapped. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Hysteria is brought to you by Aura Frames. You know, something I get a lot from my mom, if I had to quantify the text messages just by topic that I get from my mom, I would say the most common category would be send me pictures of your kids. And, you know, I don't mind sharing them with her, but sometimes I'm in the car, sometimes I'm playing with said children, sometimes my hands aren't free, I can't respond to her desire for endless photos of her grandchildren whenever she demands it. So that's why I think an Aura frame is in order. With an Aura frame, you can capture and relive magic every day, and you can share your family with relatives who are far away. I love that I can preload photos before the frame ships and keep adding memories from anywhere, anytime. You just download the free Aura app or text photos straight to your frame. Fun fact, the Aura app reached number one in the App Store on Christmas Day in 2025. Make Mother's Day special with Aura frames. Named number one by Wirecutter, you can save on gifts moms love by visiting AuraFrames.com. For a limited time, listeners can get $25 off their best-selling Carver mat frame with code Hysteria. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code Hysteria. Support the show by mentioning us at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Hysteria is brought to you by Helix. I love my Helix Midnight Luxe mattress because it's not too firm or too soft, and it matches my specific sleep needs, which is I need to sleep. I need to sleep. Sleep is the thing that I need the most. Every single day I wake up, I imagine going back to sleep. I also have people that are constantly waking me up. And so when I am in that bed, I need to be out. It is go time. It is sleep time. It's the perfect model for me. And guess how I know that? The Helix Sleep Quiz. It helped me sort through the 20 plus models to find my match. If you're looking for a little upgrade to reward yourself for conquering spring cleaning, I recommend switching to Helix. A study they ran found that 82% of those involved saw an increase in their deep sleep cycle while sleeping on a Helix mattress. And it couldn't be simpler. Helix delivers your mattress right to your door with free shipping in the U.S. You get 120 nights to try it out and a limited lifetime warranty. You can rest easy with seamless returns and exchanges. The Happy with Helix guarantee offers a risk-free, customer-first experience designed to ensure you're completely satisfied with your new mattress. Helix is the most awarded mattress brand, tested and reviewed by experts like Forbes and Wired. In 2026, awarded most trusted brand by USA Today. Go to helixsleep.com/hysteria for 27% off site-wide, exclusive for listeners of Hysteria. That's helixsleep.com/hysteria for 27% off site-wide, exclusive for listeners of Hysteria. Make sure you enter our show name after checkout so they know we sent you. helixsleep.com/hysteria. And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for cozy crime devotees. Mm-hmm. Alyssa and I discovered the phrase cozy crime this week.
It fits. We love it.
It's true crime where nobody gets murdered.
Yep.
Right? We're into it. We're into it.
We can sleep at night.
We can sleep at night. We're not grossed out. Today's guest is Stephanie Young, host and producer of Love Trapped, the podcast that everybody at Hysteria is addicted to, that is topping the charts right now. It's the story of former bachelor Clayton Eckerd, who gets caught up with a woman named Laura Owens, who claimed that he impregnated her even though they'd never had sex. And the paternity scandal was just the beginning. Stephanie, oh my God, we are so happy you're here.
Can't wait.
We've talked about your podcast so much on and off the show. It has lit up our group chat. But for anyone who's not familiar with the pod, can you give us a synopsis of the show and how it came to be?
So the podcast is about Clayton Eckerd, like you said, former bachelor. He meets this woman on LinkedIn because he's a realtor in Scottsdale, Arizona. After he got off The Bachelor, didn't end up with anybody. And this woman is looking to do investment properties. She wants to work in real estate with him. And so one thing leads to another. She kind of starts flirting with him via text and he invites her over. She comes over. They did not have sexual intercourse. They did hook up. You can use your imagination there. And then 11 days later, she says that she is pregnant with his baby. And then that turns into twins. And then we also find out along the way.
As it does.
You know, sometimes it just happens. And then along the way, we find out that she's done this to other people too. So this is the story of all of their accounts of this. And we're still in it too. She's facing criminal charges in the state of Arizona. And that is still an active case right now.
Okay, so like you said, this is just the beginning. Now, Clayton, which was very interesting because I, years ago, followed Bachelor Nation, but I was not aware of this drama. Clayton Eckerd, not beloved, a villain in Bachelor Nation. And so this case immediately got buzzed because of his bachelor status, but it wasn't necessarily good. We didn't know how far the story was going to go. At what point did you jump in and start recording? Like, what, you were like, this is it. Gotta have it. Gotta go.
So I started covering this in June of 2025. At that point, his case with Laura Owens, the paternity case, had already been adjudicated. That was June of 2024. So I came into the game pretty late. And at that point, she had already been indicted on 7 felony charges. Then, as I started reporting, something happened with one of the other victims, and I was able to cover that live in San Francisco. And then at that point, she was indicted on another 7 felony charges. So I kind of got to see half of it in real time, and half of it I was reporting on the past.
Oh my gosh. You know what's really funny? I happened to go on Reddit on the day that the anonymous woman posted.
Yeah.
And
wow.
Like, happened to go on, and I'm a psycho. So I was like, I just like had a baby, and I was about to find out I was pregnant again with another baby. And so I was like very familiar with like pregnancy ins and outs, and things she was saying about pregnancy didn't make sense to me. I was like,
you were like, this is garbage.
Yeah, this doesn't make sense. So I think, I mean, I like started looking into her social media, and she was jumping horse jumping contests with an allegedly twin pregnant. And I was like, she's lying. She's lying. And from then I was completely hooked. I have been thinking about this story since literally September 2023.
Yeah.
And you've been thinking about this story. You have like lived it for like almost a year now. What do you think is Laura Owens' goal?
That's a wonderful question that I think I'm still trying to figure out. Because as I look at this story as a whole, I almost think it's just acceptance. I'm not sure what it is. I don't know what it is. And I wish I knew. I wish she would talk to me so that I would know. I would love to ask her questions. At this point, she has not agreed to sit for an interview.
Why do you think that is? Because she's fucking talked to everyone. She's been in front of every judge and seems utterly fearless. You know what I mean? Like so brazen, showing up with a fake belly bump to court appearances. So like, why do you think that you're the person she won't talk to?
I'm not the only one she won't talk to. She'll be happy to talk in court. She'll be happy to write court filings. But as far as doing interviews with somebody who might challenge her narrative, I think that's where the problem is. Mm-hmm. That's where I think. I mean, I obviously don't know. I, again, would love to speak with her. I really would.
Mm-hmm. You know, she has a little bit of a history of being litigious when it comes to people that are critical or engage with critics of her. Has she indicated any aggression or litigious nature in your direction?
Episode 2, you heard me say that I got an email from her, and we'll talk about it in episode 12.
Oh,
shit.
What? Oh, my gosh. People are listening to this on Thursday. Alyssa and I have been texting each other.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
It's Thursday. It's Happy Love Trap Day.
Yeah. So you'll know about it.
Yes.
You will have heard all about the emails.
Oh, my gosh. I cannot wait. So here's something that I think I can hear from the way that you narrate and write the podcast, that there's something that has kind of been like a little bit vexing or like that's stuck on you a little bit. Like, how do you feel about ushering a story into the zeitgeist that centers around a woman lying to this extent about her abuse? And as it seems like trying to weaponize the credulity that came with Me Too. How do you make sure the wrong lessons aren't being taken from this?
That part of the story has been really hard for me. Because not only is it this crazy narrative about women that could be perpetuated by retelling this story, and also the amount of resources it's wasted and the amount of damage that it could do to potential victims that are scared to speak up, that aren't wanting to speak up. These types of stories damage them. So I really do want to be cognizant of the fact that this case with Laura, what she has done specifically, is pretty rare. That's not something that happens a lot of the time. And I've had a conversation with Clayton about that too, because I said, does this impact your dating life? Like, as you move forward, like, how are you thinking about that? And he's like, you know, I can't focus on this being the norm. I can't focus on this being the norm because I would be terrified. So he's doing just fine. He's dating. He is just more cautious about the energy that he lets in. So I do want to say that, you know, in this case, what Laura has done, I believe, is very rare. And I know that this narrative is something that we've talked about a lot internally as we've produced this podcast, because it's like telling these types of stories, it can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. So I want people to recognize that this is one specific story.
Mm-hmm. So I have to ask you, so funny thing, I listen to your podcast while I walk, and I was listening, and while I walked, my sister called, and I said, she's like, are you listening to Love Trapped? And I was like, yes. I'm like, I said it out loud, I can't with Schnitzel Ninja. And another woman in the park was like, are you listening to Love Trapped? And I was like, yes.
Oh my gosh.
And so I say that because Aaron and I are both, have talked about this a lot, especially because Aaron is a bit of an online detective. But what do you think about the fact that most of the major pieces of evidence here were broken by online detectives, like you know, like Barney Fifes?
I think in 2026, we're going to see a lot more of that. I mean, mm-hmm. look at the Karen Reed trial. Look at the Idaho 4 trial. There were all these internet detectives that kind of come together to help find all these puzzle pieces. And that's exactly what happened here. And not only were they finding information, they were also supporting the victims along the way. I want to be very clear that they raised a lot of money for each of the victims to fight these cases. So not only are they helping find evidence that private investigators would probably cost thousands of dollars to find, they are also helping the victims too.
Mm-hmm. But like, what does it say about our police system that no one else had found some of this stuff that seemed pretty, like when they were looking at the sonogram, I think Aaron and I were listening to this episode at the same time. We text each other. We're like, Fiverr.
Yeah.
Like it seems like a lot was missed beyond the excellent work that these people did.
I think that there's just so much. Mm-hmm. And when I tell you that I've been going through this evidence for 11 months now, and I still find things that are new to me. I still find things that are new to me. Hmm. Like last week, I thought of something and I was like, oh my gosh, this and this and this. And I put them together and I was like, I can't believe I didn't think of that before. And there is just so much evidence. Like Clayton gave me this whole file of over 500 emails, and they're long emails. They're not short. And I have read all of them numerous times. And each time I read them, I'm pulling something new out. So the amount of time I think that it would take for the small group of investigators with the police that are probably trying to go through this mm-hmm. would be so much.
Right.
So I think it's been really great that there's been a lot of eyeballs on this to help it along the way.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Laura has a very particular style of writing that mm-hmm. kind of is similar to this style that her mom uses when she speaks.
Yes.
And there are, you know, parent-child similarities, obviously, like genetics, whatever. But it seems, listening to the pod, the further you get in, that there are some questions about how in on Laura's mm-hmm. scheme her parents are. Her mother in particular seems to encourage her behavior, or at least go along with it. And her dad also seems to just kind of be okay with it. What do you think their role is in this?
I can't speculate what their role is. It seems like Laura's parents are extremely supportive of her mm-hmm. and they believe what she tells them. Hmm. That's my take on that. You know, you've seen and you've heard the body cam footage of the January 2025 police raid. You've seen mom talking to the police for the welfare checks, and you kind of can make your mm-hmm. own opinions about that.
Yeah.
So sort of a little bit to the same, because this is someone who we don't hear about except about two instances, and that's her sister. She uses her sister's video and sonogram and passes them off as her own. Do they have a relationship?
Yeah. Laura and her sister have a relationship, to my knowledge.
Wow.
But I don't know that anyone has ever spoken with Sarah about this.
Yeah.
I certainly haven't. I talked to Clayton's attorney. They haven't. I know a lot of other people have requested to try to speak with her. No one's heard from her.
Hmm. I'll say she's a hot topic on the subreddit on the Justice for Clayton. Yep.
Careful, Alyssa. You're going to end up just camping.
I did. It was all night last night.
It was so funny. The first like segment of the case from like September 2023 till June 2024 was mm-hmm. like, it spanned my entire pregnancy with my second child. So like wow. there was her trial date was coming up. My due date was coming up. And I was like, God, I hope I'm not in the hospital when the trial happened. Like that's how, because I was like, I would get home and I would just pull up the page and just read comments. It is a magnetic story.
I don't have children. Uh-huh. And you heard in episode 11 that when I was in San Francisco reporting on this.
Yes, your sister.
Yes.
And she pops up this sonogram on the FaceTime. It has her name on it, has the date, has the due date, has how far along she is. And I just remember being in that moment crying and being like, how ironic is this?
Yeah.
That this is happening while I'm in the middle of reporting on this story. And not only that, I've obviously followed her along her pregnancy. We both live in the same city. So it's been nice to like see all the milestones along the way. Huh. And, you know, I just went to her 32-week ultrasound. And
oh, wow.
Seeing all of these things happen in real time, and my sister, you know, says she has a high-risk pregnancy. She's had 4 or 5 ultrasounds at this point. And so just comparing right. notes from what my sister's gone through, because my sister's 34. She was the same age that Laura was when all of this happened. So comparing notes as to what is happening as to how I'm reporting the story has been very interesting from my perspective.
Totally.
You mean it wasn't all done by telemed?
No, we actually
never
went
to see a doctor
office.
In real life.
We went to a real doctor's office. We got a real printout. I have a very real ultrasound from my sister.
Yeah, that is so interesting. And congrats to your sister. And
yeah,
also
totally
being an
do.
Aunt is way more fun than being a mom, because I was an aunt
I can
before
attest.
I was a mom. Yeah, being a mom's a little bit. It's a vocation. It's not that fun. But being an aunt is fun.
I can't wait to have aunt on my resume.
Oh, yeah. Oh, party aunt? Being party aunt is like the yes. fun, cool aunt who sweeps in and is like, look at how cool I am. Let's do something fun. And then is like, ta-ta at the end of the day. Oh. Absolutely yeah. rules. Will this podcast be produced for television?
Yes.
I hope so. I really hope so. Our development team is in conversations, and that's all I know. But I sure do hope so.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, final question. What do you want listeners to take away from the story of Laura Owens?
We talked about it before, but I want to remind everyone that this is a unique experience. I also want people to take away from this that having a community around you is extremely important, whether that's to share things that have happened to you, whether that's to support you, whether that's to help you realize that you've done something wrong. A community of support is extremely important as a person. And I think in a way, there's been a little piece of me throughout this reporting that feels a bit of empathy for Laura. And that is because I don't think that she has a giant support system.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it's incredibly important. And the people you keep around you are incredibly important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, I lied. One final, final question. I lied. And
okay.
Lying is doing something wrong. But thanks to my support system, I'm able to handle the okay. It was reported this week that Laura Owens was offered a plea deal in her case. What do you know about the plea deal? And what do you think about it?
The plea deal is something that I don't have access to the full information on. Based on my conversations with Clayton, I know that he and the other victims are not happy with what was offered. As far as Laura taking the plea deal, we still don't know.
Mm.
We might not know until May 20th at the next pretrial hearing.
Oh, my God.
There's been no updates on the docket. You hear about that in episode 12 today. But yeah, we're all still waiting to find out.
Oh, my God. Special emergency episode? After we find out, will you do a season 2?
Season 1 will continue until the story is done.
Okay.
Great.
We're not going to leave you hanging.
Okay,
we're not going to leave you hanging,
you.
I promise.
Okay. Stephanie Young, she is the producer, writer, host of Love Trapped, our current podcast obsession. You can listen to all 12
Amazing.
Episodes today wherever you get your podcast. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for making this podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me and for sharing this podcast on yours. It's truly appreciated, and I'm so grateful. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Stephanie.
All right, time for another break. But when we come back, Sani Petty. Hysteria is brought to you by Ritual. Sometimes when I'm juggling my daughter's finicky food preferences, my own healthy eating goes out the window. Yeah, I end up just eating leftover mac and cheese a lot of the times. Or SpaghettiOs. Now I get peace of mind knowing I can still hit key nutrient goals with a daily multivitamin from Ritual. Ritual's team of scientists pored over thousands of studies to identify the common gaps between nutrient needs and what people are actually consuming across different life stages to support foundational health. Here's what I love about Ritual. I just have the little jar sitting out where I can see it in the morning on my way out the door. Take my Ritual. I can down it with coffee and it's not going to give me an upset stomach. A little minty aftertaste to remind me that I did a good deed. And that's it. I just go about my day. That's what a vitamin should be. Ritual Essential for Women 18 Plus Multi contains 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules designed for optimal absorption per day. Designed to be gentle on the stomach so you can take it with or without food, its minty essence also helps make taking your multis actually enjoyable. Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to test its efficacy. It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Instead of striving for perfect health, aim for supporting foundational health. Save 25% on your first month at ritual.com/hysteria. That's ritual.com/hysteria for 25% off your first month.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
And welcome back. You're listening to Hysteria, the podcast for people who know that Lauren Sanchez will never be a fashion girly.
Ever.
Ever. She paid $10 million to be on the Met Gala red carpet, and she looked like 10 bucks. She's just ghoulish looking.
Well, it's like, here's the thing. She's just like completely unoriginal. And if you have that much fucking money and you are so horny to be the co-chair of the Met Gala, you bring it.
Yes.
You bring a costume.
Yes.
You bring a fucking look, unless you're unoriginal and or scared. And at which point, what are you doing?
Yeah.
The whole point of being that rich is that you shouldn't be fucking scared of anything.
Yeah, because
honestly,
people are going to be scared to tell you the truth. You can dress
right. Them. So like, get a bad bitch. If she had done something truly original, look, I can carry many truths at the same time. I could still think that she is a waste of space, but I would give her credit and be like, okay, but that designer was killer. Like, good for her. Instead, she did some Madam X shit. Give me a break.
I know. I mean, Lauren, pick a lane. Are you an astronaut or are you a fashion girl?
You love that.
Her fellow astronaut, Katy Perry, was also on the red carpet. Dressed
terrible
in astronaut,
fashion.
Astronaut theme. I thought the dress kind of was a sleigh. I thought the mask was, I could have.
The mask was
the
goofy.
Mask was silly, but Katy Perry, weirdly, to me, you know how people make fun of Taylor Swift for not ever having a sleigh? But that, I think, is partly why she's so relatable to so many people.
Yeah, she's just like,
She seems to, like, kind of have a middle-of-the-road fashion sense. And she tries things, but it's never like, oh, my God. It's never like a Naomi Campbell moment.
Right, you know? And it's, like, her thing.
But that's
like,
fine.
That's just not her thing. So, like, let her be.
Right, but Katy Perry, I don't think as many people have acknowledged that she also has never had a sleigh.
No, you're right.
She's a little too, like, corny, you know?
Mm-hmm.
A little too corny. Mm-hmm. Anyway, astronaut Lauren Sanchez, just fucking do something more worthwhile. Also, the Met Gala was grosser this year than it's ever been.
The fashion, look, if for nothing else, I will always watch it for the fashion. And the fashion was just like,
I thought Lisa looked good. The K-pop artist Lisa turned actress.
Yes. And you know who else? Angela Bassett had an incredible look and an incredible photograph, like a painting that she was like, you know, once I do, I will say this, if you're going to go to something like that and you're supposed to be a piece of art, definitely give to all of the like Page Six and InStyle people, give them your piece of art so that we can compare and contrast. Because it did make a difference when you were looking at some of the people's like artwork mm-hmm. that you were like, oh, okay, that's like a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Also, I did notice that Kris Jenner wanted to squash rumors that her facelift had fallen.
Her $1 million facelift that requires a password for his phone number.
Yeah, she looked taut and high and tight.
I mean, I don't know. I've always found it kind of grotesque, and it's even more grotesque than normal. And yes, conflicting thoughts in my head at the same time. Lisa looked cool. That thing she was wearing looked cool. Also, fuck this thing. This thing fucking sucks. It's like so bad. I hate it. It's gauche. It's disgusting considering like how Amazon workers are treated, considering how close it was to – was it on May Day? No. It was like a few days after May Day. Still, regardless.
It was in the environs.
Grotesque. Grotesque. Jeff Bezos and his fucking ridiculous chin implant and his like divorce vibes. Gross. Lauren Sanchez.
Skip the red carpet. We didn't even see him.
Lauren Sanchez like went to her plastic surgeon and was like, give me the Glasgow grin. You know, like she's like, her head has been like bisected by her disgusting plastic surgery. I find them to be repugnant and their wealth to be disgusting and like obscene. And anyway, I think Chris Smalls was also arrested outside of the
Yes, I saw that.
The Amazon union organizer was also arrested. And also, I want to give a shout out to The Financial Diet, which is one of my favorite follows on Instagram. Mm-hmm. One of my friends runs it. Not to brag, but she's awesome. The Financial Diet had a really good commentary on it where they superimposed facts about Amazon's treatment of workers over pictures from the Met Gala.
I did see that. That was wonderful.
I thought it was really well done. Very clever. All right. Now let's get to some announcements for the class. If you want to hear more about the Bezos-backed Met Gala and the dystopian hellscape it painted, you already know who has thoughts. On this week's Keep It, guest hosts Riri Chaney and Kyle Buchanan talk through the biggest looks and moments from the night. Plus, the sequel nobody asked for, but maybe we all deserve, Devil Wears Prada 2. New episodes of Keep It drop every Wednesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube. We're big Riri fans over here.
Love Riri.
We love
Riri. I also like Devil Wears Prada too.
I need to see it, but like I have such a backlog of things I need to see.
It'll eventually come to Hulu. It's already like on the little ticker.
Yeah.
But it was, I would say this. It was highly satisfying.
Good. That sounds great.
Highly satisfying.
All right. Well, now let's get to Sani Petty. Alyssa, do you want to go first?
I'm petty.
Okay. Tell me about it.
I'm mad. I'm not mad. I'm sad, I guess. Because you and I said this was going to happen. We have said it was going to happen for months. And I actually don't really like doing news stories as my petty, but I really felt like I had to. We have talked about the Trump ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
We have Trump. I needed to give a little timeline of the ballroom. Now that it seems, as we fucking said, taxpayers are going to end up paying for it. Okay. So last July, Trump unveils plans for White House ballroom, estimated cost $200 million, all going to be paid by private donors. October 2025, demolition and construction begins, estimated cost $250 million. Late October, Trump announces ballroom donors, estimated cost $300 million. And again, every time he talks about the donors, he has never said if the money is in hand, if it's in escrow, or if these are just pledges. December 2025, cost doubles for initial estimates, $400 million. April, and also I would like to say, if you don't want people to be chirping that what happened at the correspondence dinner was a hoax, maybe I wouldn't do this. After the White House correspondence dinner shooting, Senator Lindsey Graham says taxpayers should foot the bill for the ballroom.
Got it. What a shameless little fop. I fucking hate that guy. I hate him so much.
Estimated cost $400 million. And finally, just the other day, Republicans propose $1 billion in taxpayer money for Secret Service security features, some of which will go towards the ballroom.
Fucking ridiculous.
It is ridiculous for something nobody wanted, nobody needed. And the grossest is that all of the Republicans who have been on TV and they have been like, see, if we had the ballroom, we could do the White House correspondence dinner there.
What?
I would like to make a point because it's not just Republicans who have been saying it. It's like other people who were there that were like, well, maybe the ballroom would be a good idea. Let me explain what that would mean.
Is he going to golf in the ballroom?
Like he could. He could put a whole golf simulator in there.
Like, it's such a flimsy pretext. It's so stupid.
But it's ridiculous. But also, I would just like to, like, for people to focus in on this one fact. Whatever that ballroom is used for, if we are talking about the White House Correspondents' Dinner, that means that the White House, whoever the president is, in this case Donald Trump, would have veto power over every single person invited to that event. Who do you think he would invite and would not be invited? And beyond that, who the fuck do you think is going to pay for it? So the White House Correspondents' Dinner is now something. There are ticket prices. You go. Who would pay for it? It would be a Ponzi scheme. So anyway, I'm grossed out by the entire conversation around it because everyone's saying stupid shit. And also, like, you and I said this was going to happen.
I mean, yes. But nobody ever listens to us. It sucks to be a Cassandra. It sucks to be a Cassandra.
That's it. So $1 billion taxpayer money.
For a fucking what? Why don't we just get an AI president? I think of having a president is too expensive. I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. Sucks. All right. Well, I have a Sanny.
Okay,
and this
good.
Is something that has been sort of like just completely dominating my social media feed because I keep, to be fair, clicking on and interacting with content about it. And I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining at all.
I'm ready.
And that is the unfolding news story about animal rights activists successfully extracting 1,500 beagles from a research farm in Wisconsin. 1,500 beagles. So there's this farm called Ridgeland Farms, which was breeding beagles and for research, which is, I can't even like think about research done on beagles because it makes me so sad. But beagles are a very friendly type of dog. They have a ton of ability to be resilient under stress. They're friendly. They don't bite. They can get along with other dogs. They're not aggressive. They're like sweet, sweet animals. And so that's why they're used in animal testing. And it is disgusting. We do not need to be doing this to dogs. It is fucking disgusting. We do not need to be doing this. But there was a farm in Wisconsin that had all of these allegations of animal cruelty above and beyond just like the typical breeding animals for lab purposes. And in March, I believe, there was this animal rights activist named Wayne Singh, H-S-I-U-N-G, who has been active like all over the world doing animal rights activism, doing like punk adjacent animal rights activism, like breaking into places and stuff. And in March, he led a raid. A bunch of people broke into the farm and like liberated 30 of the beagles.
I saw the video.
And they like came out, and that brought enough attention to the farm for 1,000 people to gather outside the farm in April for a similar raid. But they were met with like tear gas and rubber bullets.
Yeah.
And it was like ridiculous. You're doing this to defend animal cruelty, like disgusting behavior. But animal rights activists went and showed up and they got tear gassed in the face for these dogs. And that eventually brought enough attention to the farm that it agreed to surrender its breeding license on July 1st.
Amazing.
Unless, and it would do that to avoid animal cruelty charges because it was facing getting hit with some felonies. So this week and week and a half, I keep seeing footage of these people, like tens of dogs, hundreds of dogs. They're getting put on planes. They're getting shipped to different shelters all over the country. Paws Chicago, where I used to volunteer when I lived in there. Paws Chicago got a bunch of them. They're going to Wisconsin. There are places that need – there's a big place in Florida that's taking a bunch in West Palm Beach, I believe. Just all over the country, these beagles are being sent. And there's all this like footage of the beagles playing in the grass for the first time and being held and petted and loved. And it's like –
cute.
They are just, they're so cute. And it makes me, it's something that really stuck out to me was I was like scrolling and I came across a clip of Lara Trump talking about this and how like much she cared about the beagles. And I was like, this is the only time in my life that I've seen Lara Trump. And I've been like, yes, let's work on this together.
Really? Well, good like, for her.
Good for her. And like, I realized that like, have a love for animals and caring about like taking care of weaker like and vulnerable entities can like really make it feels good to feel unity with other people and to know that you're on the right side of something. And like I have to salute everybody, including Lara Trump, who has been vocal about this. And
kiss a beagle.
And especially Wayne Singh, like, oh my God. What he's like, if you want to like pull up his Wikipedia page, he's like doing it. He's doing it. And I think that
That's awesome.
And there are people that have gotten like jailed over this. It's like really cool. And also
find real criminals.
I know, but also fuck that fucking farm. There's still 500 beagles left and people are trying to liberate the rest of them. So TBD if they're going to be able to get the remaining 500 beagles
cry
out.
Cry freedom, but beagles.
If you've got room in your heart or your home for a little beagle friend, you might want to reach out to local shelters and see if there's anything that you can provide. And even if, you know, they don't have any beagles that were rescued, there's probably other dogs that need a place to chill out for a bit too. Even if you don't want to adopt, like fostering is super helpful to shelters.
Or just go visit.
Yeah, but, you know, I think fostering is great. Also, it's kitten season, so if you're not a dog person, you could go to your local shelter and, like, let them know.
So many kittens.
You can help with kittens, and that's fun because they're, like, tiny little terrorists who bite, but they can't hurt you. It's fun.
Yeah, they're so cute.
And then you can give them away. At the end, you bring them back to the shelter, and they're ready to go to a home, and you're like, be gone, you tiny beast.
See you, cutie little terrorists.
Yes, exactly. So, anyway, I just wanted to – Sanity Corner is, you know, animals.
That was great.
Animals being rescued. Doing what you can to, like, help animals that are in need of homes. I think that's something that really – the world's pretty fucking crazy right now. And
it is crazy.
It is something within your control to help, like, something smaller than you that needs a warm home to go to, even if it's just temporary.
Also, wait, happy early Mother's Day.
Oh, yeah. It's Mother's Day this week. If you're hearing this and you're just now realizing it's Mother's Day and you haven't done anything,
write a card.
Write a card. Also, I think about our interview with Ina Garten and how she was like, I bring breakfast stuff over to parties. Bring your mom some like amazing bread or something, but do something for your mom. And then one more thing before we go. If you're lucky enough to be in New York City and enjoyed last week's guest co-host, Naomi Ekperigin, she is delightful. And I say this, I'm not exaggerating. She's one of my favorite stand-up comedians, period. She's not just one of my favorite stand-up comedians that I know and am friends with. She is – I put her up against any working stand-up. I think she's incredible.
100%.
We just so happen to have a few of my favorite stand-ups, like, in our immediate circle of friends. Megan Gailey,
lucky,
Naomi Ekperigin.
We're lucky.
Tian Tran. So Naomi is going to be at the Bell House in Brooklyn on Thursday, May 14th at 7:30 p.m. Just one show. She's normally
just
out
one.
Here on the West Coast just gracing us with her presence. But you get one shot if you're in New York City. You can grab tickets at thebellhouseny.com. And Naomi promises you'll be in bed by 10 if that's if that's important
honestly,
to you.
That's a selling point.
That's a selling point. All right. We want to thank Stephanie Young for joining us for the interview today. Alyssa Mastromonaco, thank you for being my ride or die. Great to have you back after a week off. Glad you're feeling better.
Me too.
We love hearing from you, listeners. Our email address is hysteria@crooked.com. Please leave us a nice rating and review if you haven't already. It helps people find the show. And there will be more Hysteria for you next week. Don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. Subscribe to Hysteria on YouTube for access to video versions of your favorite segments and other exclusive content. And if you're as opinionated as we are, consider dropping us a nice review. Hysteria is a Crooked Media production. Caroline Reston is our senior producer. Our executive producer is me, Aaron Ryan. And Alyssa Mastromonaco is our co-producer. Claire Fogarty is our associate producer. The show is engineered and edited by Jordan Cantor. We get audio support from Charlotte Landis. Our video producers are Rachel Gajewski and Claudia Sheng. Matt DeGroat is our head of production. Adrian Hill is our head of news and politics. Kendra James is our executive producer of culture and entertainment. And thank you to Daisy Cruz and David Tolles for production and marketing support every week. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hey, Crooked listeners, if you haven't become a friend of the pod yet, you are missing out on exclusive bonus content that drops every single week. If you do join, you're helping us, grow Crooked Media, which is one of the few independent, proudly pro-democracy media companies left in Trump's America. If you join, you also get ad-free episodes of all your favorite pods, ad-free episodes of Pod Save America, Love It or Leave It, Offline, Pod Save the World. You also get bonus content like our new extra episode of Pod Save America called Pod Save America Only Friends, Dan Pfeiffer's Polar Coaster. You also get access to all of our excellent Substack newsletters like Pod Save America Open Tabs and tons more great content. So stop what you're doing right now and go ahead and subscribe at crooked.com/friends. Check it out.
This year, experience the NHL playoffs your way. Want to watch a single? Do or Die Game 7, a full week of heavy-hitting back-and-forth series. Then check out Sling's 1-3 and 7-day passes. Watch The Chase for the Cup on ESPN and TNT, starting as low as $4.99. No long-term contracts or overpaying. Just live hockey at home or when you want it. Sling lets you do that. Visit sling.com to learn more.
Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.